Folks are coming from far and wide. Old calf meeting on the county line. 101, yeah, it feels like revival. Redback hymnals, folding chairs, canvas tin in the open air, sawdust floor and a Holy Ghost prayer. Revival. Are you ready for a Bible in this place this week? Amen. God is able. Let's head on down to the riverside. Muddy water and robes of white. One more sinner gonna be baptized. Revival. On and it ain't the same. The names and the place and the faces change. One thing that remains the same. Shout the glory down, join in that heavenly sound, toe tapping, hand clapping, revival. We're gonna stand and testify, hands lifted up to the sky, faith stir and shake the earth, revival.
Calvary Jubilee 2024. You glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we've been doing a lot of praying and preparing for this meeting for today and this week, and so looking forward to the Lord meeting with us and doing great, mighty things. We know He's going to do that. We've asked Him to do that. He said He would do that. If we call unto Him, He would show us great and mighty things. And so that's what we're praying for this week, praying that the Lord would revive the saints, but also save the lost is our prayer this week. And so good to be here this morning. Good to have Second Coming with us. And give them a round of applause, if you would, for being here. And been wanting to meet you guys. We know that our Jackson. But we know he's been on the road with you guys, and so good to meet you all, and just mentoring him as well, and along with the gospel singing and the coming and the going and the ups and downs and ins and outs of that. I know that he appreciates that, and I do as well. I know his parents do, but so good to meet you guys. Looking forward to hearing you in just a few moments. And Second Coming is going to be with us tonight as well. I do want to say this, get this out of the way. At the conclusion of the service this morning, we will be taking up a love offering for the group. And then, again, tonight, after the message and all, At the conclusion of the service, we'll be taking up another love offering. So just ask the Lord what you could give to this great gospel group to help them with their travels on the road. And that would be so appreciated. And in just a moment, we will receive. Go ahead, men, come on down. We're going to receive our tithes and offerings here at Calvary this morning. And we'll do the same thing tonight before we start the service, or right when we start the service, getting the tithes and offerings out of the way. But again, it's so good to be here. Good to see Pastor Emeritus Reverend Snyder Turner with us this morning. No stranger around this place or these parts. So very good to have him. He this time last year, he had a back surgery. And like 3 or 4 weeks before the meeting last year, and the same thing this year, about 3 or 4 weeks ago. He, you know, just such a blessing to have a surgery a few weeks before preaching time. But anyway, so just so thankful to have him with us and being able to preach this morning. And we may have him on the floor preaching this morning. Just depends on how his back feels. And so you be in prayer about that. And so good to have Miss Marcia with us. And what a blessing she is. And no stranger around here as well. And so good to have Miss Joy Burgess with us this morning. And Miss Joy, we were talking earlier. I think we were saying this would be the 28th or 29th annual Jubilee meeting here at Calvary. Bill Snyder, does all that sound? It's about right. And so many years ago, Brother T.D. and all had the great vision of this Jubilee meeting along with Brother Snyder. And so what a staple it has been to this church. And will continue to be. And so good to see you, Miss Joy. We love you, appreciate you, and all that you've done in the ministry, Brother T.D. See someone else here tonight, or this morning, rather, I want to make mention of Miss Carol Cape is with us, and Brother Berman Cape Jr., my hero. He's been in heaven for some time now, but I tell you, what a blessing he was to me in my early stages of Christianity at Floyd Road. And I tell you, still listen to his messages. Miss Carrie, you got his ministry on YouTube there, so thank you for that. And what a blessing. I mean, just simple things that I've learned from his life and preaching, but just daily living, because I worked at the church, building grounds man for 6 years. I watched him, how he talked and how he walked and things he did. And so it's just a great feeling having you and the family here this morning. Thank you for coming. And but anyway, it's so good to be here this morning. And we just want to let the Lord have his will and have his way. And we do, again, want to take up our Sunday morning offering, tithes and offerings. And so be mindful of that, Calvary people. All right, well, let's pray. And we'll receive the Sunday morning offering. I believe we're going to do one more, maybe something like that. And we're going to turn it over to Second Coming. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name today. And thank you, Lord, so much for the congregating of your people, Lord. This is a special event here at Calvary Baptist Church, Lord. And we just want you, Lord, to show up and do great and mighty things. God, we know at the same time you do things silently and quietly, and so we're not measuring the success of this meeting based upon how many souls were saved or things like that, Lord, because we know that when your seed is planted from the Word of God, things will happen, and sometimes they happen down the road. But, Lord, we do commit things to you this morning. I pray, Lord, for Second Coming. You'd bless them, use them in a mighty way. And when it comes preaching time, God, I pray for Brother Snyder, Lord, that you would touch him, anoint him afresh and anew. Touch him physically, Lord. Touch him mentally, spiritually. And God, I know he has the word this morning to kick off this meeting. And so, God, give us ears to hear. And, Father, we're ready, Lord, to hear from you this morning and be better Christians, Lord, as a result of this service. Bless this offering. Let it be used for the ongoing ministry here at the church. Bless the tithes and offerings. And, Lord, just help us give back to you for just a portion of that which you blessed us with. Father, we love you today. We're so very thankful for the things that you have done, the things you're doing now that we may not even be aware of, and the things that you're going to do. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. And amen.
few weeks ago, the choir had the blessing of being able to go up and join in a great Jubilee-type choir for Brother Alan Barrett and his ministry. And what a joy that it was that night. And the choir was able to sing with all the other choirs. And, I mean, it was a hallelujah meeting. Amen? And if you were there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If not, well, you missed a great time. But it was just a great, great spirit that was there that night. And we were very thankful to be a part of it. We sang this one song, and it goes way back. We've sang this years and years ago. Brother Don Nettles, he brought me a book that they had back when they used to sing in a choir years ago at another church. And this song was in there. And I looked at that song then, and I thought, man, that's an old one right there. And then when they pulled it out up there at Eastwood, I thought, well, maybe the Lord's trying to tell me something. So we might just use this as our theme song this week. You'll understand why in just a few moments. You know, this is going to be a great week of Jubilee. Amen?
Amen.
But I'm telling you, it will be nothing like the great Jubilee that we experience when we get to heaven. And we're able to gather around the throne eternal and sing and praise the Lord face to face. We couldn't do that here, but man alive, what a meeting it's going to be when we get over there. And that's what we want to sing for you this morning. What a meeting in the air.
Glory land is not so far away, and we'll reach it some glad day. Heaven's home is now my final.
Amen. Be seated if you can. As the choir comes down this morning, if you are visiting with us, you are truly our special guest. And we thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship this morning. You may have some folks come in on a scrunch up next to you in a few moments. They didn't know service started at 10:30. So some folks will realize that we started at 10:30 when they come in and see a little bit of a crowd this morning. But thank you so much for being here today. Lord, what a blessing. God's been so good, and we are so looking forward, Brother Snyder. But we have some great special guests for you here this morning. We have ministered together. It's been many, many years ago. We've sang, I don't know, a couple of times together, I know, down through the past. But I just want to say this morning that I am thankful. I love you guys, and I thank you for the ministry that you have. You'll notice a lot of things will say SCM. That means Second Coming Ministry. And that's truly what they're going to do. They're going to minister for us. But I want to thank you for choosing my grandboy over there to have an opportunity to use his gifts in the ministry of the Lord. Honestly, he's one of the greatest drummers I've ever seen, and he is a tremendous musician. You agree with that? And I know what it's like when you start praying about someone to become a part of your ministry. And I thank you for choosing Jackson. I'm so proud of him. And I know you guys love him. And I know that you do. I've seen the way that you love on him. And he really enjoys it. And you have anything you want to share, Pastor? All right. Well, let's do this. Would you please put your hands together this morning and bring on the board this morning Second Coming Ministry to share with us this morning the gospel and song.
Y'all see why we want Jackson? He's the youngest one we can find to help us out.
It's truly a joy for Second Coming to be here today. And I just want to say before we start singing that I'm not sure who sent us the four cards that we received in the mail that to tell us that you were praying for us. And I'm telling you, it's the first time it's ever happened. And I even took a picture of the cards and I put it on Facebook because it moved me to that point. And, my husband says so many times, he says, if you offered me $1 million or that you would pray for me, he said, the first thing I'd want to know is why you couldn't do both. Rather have your prayers than anything else. And I just want to say thank you to the four people that did that and for all of you that have prayed. I have prayed every day and this ministry has prayed for this day.
Amen. Thank you. introduce the rest of the group to you. This year we celebrate 30 years. Donna started the group 30 years ago. And we're going to have anniversary singing next Saturday night. Danny Newton is going to be us and Karen Peck in New River. So if you don't have anything to do on Saturday night, we'd love to have you come down to Newton to be with us. But she started the group 30 years ago, and we got married 27 years ago. When I first started with her, I just played the bass guitar. I stood behind her, and I knew there was something. I've been knowing there's something special about her for many years. I met her when we were 19 years old, and she touched my heart then, and she still does it today. But I tell everybody in the little church that we met in that she had me to start coming to. She invited me to church. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I didn't care anything about going to church. All I knew was I wanted to go down there to see her. And that was it. I could sit there in that church and listen to the preacher an hour-long sermon, and I could get out and walk out that back door. And I couldn't tell you one word he said except for amen. Because I can block it out. The devil will let you block it out. But when Donna would get up there to sing at the piano, I would listen to her because I was interested in her. And then I got to listen to the words that she was singing to the songs. And there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that takes the place of the preached word of God. But by her singing those words, and then I got to listen to the preacher. But it's because of her singing today that I'm saved. Amen. She touched my heart then, and I didn't know anything about anointing. All I knew was that when she would sing, I felt something inside of me. And that was the anointing that God had on her life. And he still does today. This is my wife. Her name is Donna Boswell. Would you make her welcome? One thing she looked back this morning, right here next to me, she makes her home in Dallas, Georgia. It's Sandy Pitts. Would you make her welcome? Next to her from Newton, Georgia, Miss Myra Wells. And I want you to know that I feel an honor every time I get to stand and sing with these three ladies. I officially started calling them many years ago my three BMWs. It ain't got anything to do with the car. It's my three big mouth women. But they'll bless your heart if you haven't done this morning. Back here on the bass guitar, he's been with us for many years. And when I was joking about everybody getting up here, you know, Larry just had a gallbladder surgery last week. And he has gone through hip surgery. He broke his hip twice, broke his femur, and you can't stop him. He's like the the battery gun, energized. But he just keeps right on going. He's 78 years old. 77, excuse me. He's still a touchy about that. And his name is Larry Head. Would y'all make him welcome? And we have a guest guitarist today. He said if I didn't let him play, he wasn't going to let Jackson go with us anymore. No, he didn't. We love him and we love his family so much. Would y'all make CJ welcome? And I say Jackson for last because y'all already know what a blessing he is. And we prayed for many years. We went almost 5 years without a full-time drummer. And we had gotten used to the fact that, well, Lord, I don't guess you want us to have one, but we kept praying for one. And we got used to going without them. So if we had a drummer, fine. We didn't, fine. But then we met CJ and Jackson. And y'all know what a blessing he's been to us. Not just his playing, but the way his actions are reflects his raising. Amanda, CJ wouldn't claim to know that. I don't know. But he has been a true blessing to us, and I was I said it jokingly. We're so glad to have somebody that's young enough that can run circles around us when we start bringing equipment in. But we love it. And like I said, you can tell his raisings. You can tell that he's been raised right. You don't hear a lot of young people that still says yes. yes sir, no sir, yes ma'am, and no ma'am.
Amen.
You don't hear that anymore, and so it's a rarity. So we're glad to have you. Mr. Jackson Martin.
Oh,
She had an upright piano that faced the audience. They didn't have a PA system, didn't have any microphones or anything like that. So anybody that knows an upright piano, I used to say that's where all the noise came from, but she corrected me. She said if it's played right, that's not noise coming out of the back of it. But that's where all the music would come out of the back of it when she would play. And she would sit behind it without a microphone. And you could hear every word that come out of her mouth, just as clear as a bell. And I said then, it took us a few years, but I said then, one day I'm going to marry that big mouth woman. And I did.
I don't know what to say after that. We just got to sing.
teach us right from wrong. We need our old-fashioned seekers who will pray all night long. We need some good gospel singing. Church will triumph, oh Lord, we'll go home in a while. It'll be worth it after all, child. It'll be worth it after all. After all. After all of this time,
be here a second time tonight. And so remember that at 5 o'clock. And Brother Sammy Burgess will be preaching for us. But again, no introduction is needed to Brother Snyder. He's pastored here. He pastored here a number of years. And, of course, his dad did before that. And we're going to do something a little different this morning. Brother David, if you want to come on, we're going to keep Brother Snyder down on the floor, on the lower level. And we don't want any accidents, nothing like that. And so right up there, right in front of Facebook Live. And with the
world. Get me on there.
Yeah, we got you. And yeah, real. I can move it closer if you want me to. But we got people watching in Indonesia and everywhere else. And so all over the world, brother. But let's give a round of applause for Brother Snyder Turner this morning. Thank you.
All right. Sit down here so I can see y'all. Let me say, first of all, I want you to know this. I can go up the steps if I want to. I just want you to know that. Now I look like Joe Biden when I do.
How about it, Randy? All right. I was texting with Randy last night, and I was he was telling me about all the stuff y'all been doing, and he's bragging that he's now retired. And so, anyway, I sent him some verses. You know, he's so cute. You know, he said, I'll get them. You won't ever get there, but I'll get them. And then, you remember my former friend, Alan? And I got your song this morning, buddy, your first one. Preacher's preaching all day long. I got that one. Thank you, Alan. I love the choir. Love you. Thank you so much. I'm glad to have you here today. Got some friends here from way, way back. And I appreciate it. Turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians. And while you're turning there, I want to say a very special welcome to Ms. Joy and to my dear, dear friend over here, Jan Frady. Y'all know Doc Frady, pastored First Baptist Church down here at Clarkdale for many, many years. He and they've been great friends of my family. And while Doc had just surrendered the call to preach and was doing some work around it, but he mentored me, every Thursday night forever, I guess it was, until he figured he wasn't going anywhere with it and he canceled it. He loved me because I, you know, everywhere I went, I'd go preach and Doc would be there and I could tell he was praying for me because I'd say something and he'd say, oh, God help us. You know, so anyway, I want to thank my sisters, my pagan sisters for being here. And Jean, it's good to see you. Most of all, I got my grandchildren here. That makes it all worthwhile. So I'm excited about that. As you know, I had very serious, critical surgery recently, about 3 weeks ago. Well, my sister Janet was jealous of the attention I got, so she went and had back surgery. I was hurting. Hers is just a desperate cry for attention. That's all that was, and I knew it right from the start. But Mother sends her regards. She's going to come today. Just didn't get to make it. She didn't feel that good, and I miss her being here with me. 96 years old. If she had been here, I wouldn't have told you how old she was. 96. Been in the hospital 3 times, and that was to deliver children. That was it. She's healthier than me, my sisters, and my brothers-in-law. A whole lot healthier than we are. I asked her one day, I said, Mother, does it I said, do you feel mentally old at 95, when she's 95? She said, no, not really. She said, what makes me feel old is having a son that's 75. I think I'm adopted. I am way too good for that crowd. I do want to thank you also for the cards that you have sent, and you're so kind to me. And we, Marcia and I, appreciate it. Lord bless me with a great nurse, and I'm sure testing her patience. This is 2 years in a row by this time, so next year I'm going to skip February and see how it goes for me. But I do, I really do appreciate it. It's probable. We are a good church, even a healthy, relatively healthy church. And it's probable that if we don't do anything, we're going to be okay for a while. If we don't do anything beyond what we're doing now, we're going to be all right. And if you're okay with just being an okay Christian, then okay. I'm not. There's still a bunch of stuff I want to do. I told the doctor, I said, look, you don't understand this thing, man. He said, well, now you're not going to be able to squat and kneel. And I said, well, you know what I do for a living, don't you? Kneeling comes in handy. But I told him, I said, and I'm not trying to sound hyper-Christian by any stretch. I'm not. I said, there's some stuff I want to do for God. I love him. I do. I mean, I just simply do. I don't know what else to say to you. I do. Or we can stay like we are. Your marriage can stay right where it is. The energy you invest as a witness on your job, keep it right where it is. You're fine. In your community, be right. Stay right where you are. You haven't done any damage. You haven't done any good, but you haven't done any damage. Or you could be sensitive to the opportunities that God opens to you. We can be so caught up in the day-to-day grind and distractions and disaffections of this world, so busy fighting all these things, that when God opens a door to us, it just blows right by us as though we were totally oblivious to the presence of God in our life. Think a minute. What do you want to do when you stand before him? And if God doesn't say, well done, Alan, I hope he at least says, nice try. I want somebody to know I've been here besides the front row at my funeral. Because I want to leave a footprint where I've been trying to help some people's lives. But for us to do anything like that, we have to be sensitive to those things God has given. Now, I shared this with you one time before, so if I did, pretend like you hadn't heard it. I am not, by any measure of your imagination, I am not a fan of cats. Now, God's got his hand on this man right here. He's not going to be with us long, but he's got his hand on him. Now, there's no need for you to come up and convince me after service. I just don't care for him. I don't hurt him, and I don't do anything like that. And however, I'm not a fan. I told Marsha one time, I said, I'm not having any cats, and I mean it. I'm not. And she knew I meant business. We only had two. Woman does what I say. Only had two. But one night it was cold and it was raining and sleeting. Man, I mean, it was horrible. And so she's upstairs and she comes to the stairwell and she says, will you open the door and let the cat in? He's sitting out there just looking in the door, and I'm thinking, I don't care. And I stood there and I looked at that crazy cat. She said, "Let him in." "Fine, fine, fine." So I opened the door and I pushed it back and I said, "Come on, cat. Come on. Come on." Soaking wet, freezing cold, standing there, Tim, just looking at me. And I thought, like any reasonable person would, "Where's my pistol?" So I'm standing, behave back there, Trail. But I'm standing there, and I'm going like, "Come on, come on." Well, Marcy walks to the head of the stairs, and she says, "No, no, 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 no. You have to say, 'Kitty baby.'" I looked at her and I said, "Honey, your cat's going to freeze tonight." "He ain't doing it." So she comes downstairs with that little look, and she pushes the door open. "Just kitty baby." When that cat went by me, I guarantee you he went. My point is this. Every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, every Jubilee, the pastor pushes the door open and says, "Wouldn't you love to come in from the insanity and the craziness and the pressures of this world? Wouldn't you like to just come on a little bit closer? Come on." He got exactly what he wanted. He just wasn't happy about who was delivering it. And I stood and I just watched him and I thought, nut. So he goes by, and then I always thought cats looked like backslidden Baptists anyway. They don't never act right. They'll take everything you give them to eat. They'll take every little stingling little bell you want to put on their neck. And I walked by one morning, and there was a tablecloth. I walked by the dining room. That goofball jumped out from under it, scared me to death, and took a big swipe at me and cut my ankle. I grabbed a broom because I thought I saw some dust on him. I grabbed a broom. I chased that cat upstairs. I chased him downstairs. He went up on the dining room table. I was poking it with that thing. I said, "You better hope I never get my hands on you." Now, I knew God would forgive me before Marcia would, but that cat was gone. Time after time, we stand here and we say, "Don't keep being beaten up by this world. The winds and everything that comes and the storms that come into your life." And we stand, and the very person who has ministered to you before her, not me, the very person who's ministered to you before is saying, "Come on, get, come on." And we just stand there. I'm going to take a minute. I'll never get through. I know that. And I know we've got a lot to do this today in Jubilee. And again, I love you. Thank you for letting me be here. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Let me show what this is an interesting take on this thing. Now, you know chapter 14, something about the Holy Spirit. You know chapter 15, he lays the absolute foundational cornerstone for what we believe about the resurrection. And then he ruins the whole thing, because the next thing he says is about money. He was on a roll, Paul. Chapter 16 in verse number 1, listen to what he says to them. "Now, concerning the collection of the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. And on the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And so he goes on to talk about his ministry and things like that. But here's what I want you to understand. Look over in verse number 9. Jump over there with me. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Lord, be my helper. That crazy cat was as close as I am to you, Montana. Closer, probably. And wouldn't respond to anything. One step. So many of us live on the threshold and just never can manage to take one step and get in out of the mess. One stinking step. At invitation time, we say, won't you come? Will you come? The door's open. Won't you come? And we go, I'm not walking all the way down there. You don't have to. One step, your first step out of that pew is your decision. The rest of your journey is coming to get what God has for you. One step, and you've made the decision. Now you follow up on it. It's just that tough. One step can change how you live through eternity if you've never put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So you're not a person of faith. One step. What is it that you are engaged in? What relationship are you involved in? What activity are you in, are you caught up in that means more to you than a right relationship with God? What is there? Small steps can make a big difference. So I want to talk to you this week, all week long, starting here, tonight and moving forward. Brother Justin will wrap it all up on Sunday. And that is, there's an open door for you where you take one step and enter it. What in your life, what in your world, in your life is more important than this? So let me just talk to you for a second. We were in London one time. I don't say that to impress you, but that's where I was at. And we were standing right outside Buckingham Palace. In fact, I was right at the gate, man. I was standing with my hands on the bars, looking, not jail bars, but you know. Standing with my hands on, and I was looking in. And all of a sudden, there's this commotion. And all of a sudden, it's like the parting of the Red Sea, man. All of a sudden, people just started spreading, opening. And all of us started pushing back. And someone, I don't know who, of the royal family was coming up, and they were coming on the grounds. I think they recognized me because they were waving, you know. And all of us moved out of the way. For whomever that was, drove right on in. And then you know what happened right behind them? The gates closed. We all walked up about the gate. On the other side of that fence, that big fence, right on the other side was all the wealth and opulence and royalty and all of that stuff. Money, prestige, position, all of that was over there. I was within 100 yards of it. Ain't got nothing. You know what? I'm not part of the family. I'm not part of the family. One of these days, I don't want you to be out there looking in when this thing gets wrapped up. And you're outside looking in so close, and yet that gate closes on you. When that thing closes, let me tell you something. No one else has the key. If you're outside when you leave this world, you will remain outside. So what I'm saying to you, and so here we are. So let me give you a couple of doors. What he's talking about here is that he wants to go and preach the word. Listen to what he says. For a great door and effectual. Here's the word. It means energy, energeus, powerful. He said, there's an opportunity. When this door opens, it's not just for a casual stroll. When this door opens, you are asked to participate in something of great value, something of high importance. It is available for you. For you, he says, an effective door for ministry. He said, there's many adversaries, just so you'll know. You know what's interesting? In Hebrews 4:10, you know when it says in the Word of God, it's quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. The word powerful there is exactly this word, effectual. Same word. The Word of God is effective in the use of breaking down the barriers that keep us away. They not only help us to be able to push things away that would do us harm, it also embraces us and keeps us in so that the things that come our way, those things that would hurt us, it gives us a way to fight back, a way to push back, something to lean on, something to stand on, something to fight with. You're not left. He said, I didn't just leave you, save you, and leave you here. I brought you here for a purpose. He left us this door. We stand at the opportunity, this door of unfinished work. I just want to name you a couple of these. Unfinished work. What's our work? Well, number one, why do we have this work? Because of the condition of the world. Look at the nonsense we live in now. You can't watch TV. No, forget it. You can't watch a commercial without getting insanity rubbed in your face. And it's interjected in places that don't even make any sense. Marcia's watching something that she loves blood and guts. I guess I've led her to that point. And the guy laying in the bed, I don't know, didn't see, and frankly didn't care. But it's a close-up on him. Now, maybe he was there. Marcia will tell you if you're interested, go see her. And he said, I just want to call my husband. And I'm thinking, unplug him. There was no reason in the world to reference that except to get us comfortable with hearing it. That is it. Every commercial, everything out there, the things we once held dear are crazily presented all of the time. Every cop show. Every cop, how many of them? Every cop show has a woman, typically a black woman boss, and it's all she can do to keep those crazy white men from shooting everybody. Every one of them. I don't care about having a black boss. That's not the issue. What I'm talking about is the minimization of men. The degradation of men in our society. Heard one of them say the other day, we don't need no men. Really? How many things you got in your kitchen that was invented by a woman? I don't know. I'm not trying to be difficult. Not trying to be misogynist. I'm not trying to do anything. I'm just telling you it's time to wake up and watch how the enemy. Listen, Satan is not so much interested. He'd be glad if you can. It's a good bonus for him. He's not so much interested in getting you to do some immoral or amoral something so he can destroy your witness. Now, we know John, he says his purpose is to do what? kill, steal, and destroy. So if he can do that, that's great. But you know what he's perfectly happy with? Keeping you so busy, so distracted, so aggravated, so frustrated that you have no time for God in your life. And when he does that, you and I become of no value to God's work. That's all he has to do. And when those things happen, the condition of the world, those who have the strongest belief, those who have the strongest belief system will dominate whatever relationship they are in. If you who are believers in school and you hang out with people who are not Christians, if they have a stronger commitment to what they are than you do to what you are, you will end up slipping towards them. Yeah, you will. You most certainly will. Every time we have visitors coming, coming on Sunday. This don't cost you a dime. It's absolutely free. People come visiting you on Sunday and they won't come on Saturday, they're not complimenting your Christian walk. Ooh, turn that hair back down. Cool breeze up here. Think a minute. I'm not trying to be cute. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to rip. Isaiah said, come here and let us reason together. Our families are constantly exposed. I remember when we grew up a long time ago. When we went home, when I got home from school, after I explained to my mother and dad what had happened that day and gotten why I was in detention hall. When I, you know, once we got in, my dad come home, we'd close that door, we were home. And the world was shut off. And my parents had control over what I had access to. Now, we come home from school, walk right past our parents with a nose buried on that screen. And we close the door, then we go to our rooms, we close that. Our parents are shut out, and we invite the entire world and its insanity into our room. And we don't have any idea what they're doing. Because they're 100 times smarter with those things than we are. 100 times smarter. But it's the opportunities, this unfinished work that God has given us to do because of the condition of the world, but also because of the commission to the church. But let me share this with you very quickly if I can. See, let me back up. See, we get excited, we get energized about the possibility of change. But we talk about what God can do, how awesome it would be if God did this. Is that right, Claudia? Am I doing good? Okay, just checking. Didn't mean to wake you up. Now, my wife says, you want to know why you don't have any friends? I'm right there, buddy. But listen, we get excited talking about it. Sunday school class, church, prayer meeting, Bible studies. God can do this. God can, at the children's home, God can do this with these young folks. We want God to do this. We want God involved. God can do it. God can do anything. And we want to high five God and fist bump Jesus. And all things are going to be okay. But we don't care a whole lot. We're less inclined to engage in the process of change. We're not as engaged in the process of changing as much as we are talking about the possibility of change. We had some folks come to the office one day at the children's home, and we were talking with them, and she said, well, Snyder, tell us a little bit about what you're doing. I said, well, I have some really big goals. I don't have any plans. I got a goal. I just ain't got a plan to get there. See, talk about change. The concept of change is cool. We like it. The process of changing personalizes the process. Are you willing to let God change you. What is there in your life that when you approach God, you have it clasped in your hand, behind your back, and you say, God, you can have nearly everything I am. And God, I'm going to give you everything I don't want. See, we give God all of our sins. God, take this out of my life. Take this attitude out of my life. Take this sin out of my life. Take these people out of my life. All of those things. And it will. But if you can, he can take all those things out. But Jeff, if we don't put something in, it isn't going to matter. Because eventually, that space that the world, or whatever that was, occupied, once we say, well, I'm getting rid of this, I'm quitting this. I remember people back when smoking was a big deal. People come to the altar and they'd throw the cigarettes on the altar. Not this. Oh, what a power. Don't you know heaven shouted? You know, and throw the cigarettes down and I quit. You know what my dad did after a while? He'd pick them up, give them back to the people. He'd say, here, save you money. I said, why'd you give them cigarettes back? He said, that's the third time they've done it. They're running out of money. They're running out of money, son. You got to be nice. Give me cigarettes back. I'm not nearly as interested in what you're going to do for the Lord as I am in hearing what God did through you. Nobody cares what you're going to do. Trust me. Nobody cares. But if you can talk about, now, I'm talking about what you did for God. I'm talking about what God did through you. What door did he open for you that you boldly, obediently, gladly walked in? Let me give you another real quick. In Acts 16, verse 26, you know the story, Paul and Silas in jail. You know, they were doing what any Baptist would do when they were in trouble. They're singing and praising the Lord. I don't know better than that. And suddenly, in the midst of following all that, verse 26 says, and there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately the doors were opened. And look, everyone's bands were loosed. Because they praised God, because they walked with God, because they would not be controlled by the pressure of difficult circumstances. They would not fold under that pressure. When God moved and he took the, instead of now, they prayed, the earth is shaken, now we pray, we're shaken. When the earth rumbles, we shake. People, other people, will be blessed because of your unbelievable freedom that is available to you when the door of opportunity opens and you step in. And it won't matter what the prison is. It won't matter the reason that you're there. It doesn't matter what held you captive. It doesn't matter who likes or does not like you. Once you decide, that which held me captive is now going to give way to the power of an almighty God showing himself through the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. And when that happens, and I'm not going to do that again, but when that happens, the sense, you know what we do, brother, when we come to the altar? We come down to the altar because we feel guilty about something. And we pray. Now, listen to me carefully. I'm not minimizing this. We come and we kneel down and we pray until we get a sense of relief or release. And then we quit. God, take this away. God, lift this off of me. God, set me free. Perfect. But don't get up until you say, fill me with your Holy Spirit. take all that insanity, take all this craziness, and don't leave me empty. See, we pray until we feel better. People get up and they say, I feel better. I don't care how you feel, tell me what you think. The Bible says as a person thinks in their heart, that's what they're going to do. You ask somebody, hey, you want to go over here? What do they say? Eh, I don't feel like it. I don't care how you feel, I don't know what you think. Because your feelings are going to change. You can get all caught up with God in here. Start to pull out and somebody cuts you off. I'm talking about somebody in the church. Cuts you off right here, man. Everything you enjoyed in here is gone. Why? Because feelings are owned by circumstances. They are owned by your circumstances. Let me just hurry. So what are you supposed to learn? Well, freedom is in Christ. Your real freedom is in Christ. See, once those prison doors were opened, they were not just free to live, they were free to leave. Got me? This is yes, this is no. They're free to leave. See, the thing about this, it's not just getting forgiven and then wallowing right back in the same stuff. And the reason so many of us, and personally, I'm speaking from personal experience, the greatest hindrance that I had to walking with God is because there was still some stuff I wanted to do and I wasn't sure if I could do them as a Christian. I was not ready to give up this, whatever it was. I always intended to go to heaven. I never will forget. Our oldest son got real sick. Real sick. I was teaching Sunday school, singing in the choir, going to visitation. Speaking on Wednesday night sometime. And just as dead spiritually as you could hope to be. I had everything. Listen, man, I had more Sunday school medals than George Patton had. I had my Bible. I won a Bible in Sunday school. Greatest, 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 greatest Sunday school teacher I ever had in my life was when I was a junior boy up at Austin Avenue. He taught that class for years. I didn't know until I was an adult that he could not read and he could not write. And out of that class of about 13 or 14 boys, 7 of us ended up in ministry. He couldn't read and he couldn't write. Every day he'd get off work and he'd go home. Mr. Barnes, I don't know if you ever knew him. Every day he'd go home, Alan. And his wife would get that Sunday school book and the Bible and she'd read it to him. She'd read it out loud to him twice. He'd come home from work the next day, she'd get that Bible. She'd get that Bible, she'd get that Sunday school book, read the scriptures, read him the lessons twice. Wednesday's home, same thing. Thursday, same thing. Friday, same thing. Saturday, twice. In the morning and in the afternoon. Are any of you old enough to know, remember when you would go to a Sunday school class and you'd take time about one verse, everybody would read one verse as you read around the room? You can't do it now because they'll arrest you for embarrassing somebody. But back then, we all would read. It would come to a hard word. Mr. Barnes would be standing there and would stumble over it. And he'd make some effort from whatever he could remember. But he'd say, What's important is the thought more than that city. And we just keep going. I thought he was just wanting us to read the word, Ceylon. You knew Mr. Barnes. I thought he was just didn't want to read the lesson. He's going to make us do it. I didn't know. 10, 11, 12-year-old boys were having the Word of God poured into them by a man that could not read and he could not write. And I never knew it until he gave me a perfect attendance Bible one Christmas and he couldn't sign it. You try to get somebody to read the Word of God out loud today. Of course, now we've got so many versions, you'd sound like you're in a charismatic church if you started reading them. An unbelievable freedom. Do you ever get... You ever get tired of feeling like your life is weighted down by everything but the presence of God? Have you ever been there? Oh, I have. And as I mentioned, my oldest son was sick. Man, we had wanted and prayed and begged God for a boy or child. When he came, I thought, yeah, all's well in the Turner house. And he got sick. And he got very sick. I was so scared. So very scared. W.A. Roberts, George Turner, Ceylon, I think. I'm not sure if you came to the house that night. You may have. They came over to pray with us. I've been living like I wanted to all week, trying to look like I was serving God on Sunday. I got a little chair over the corner, and I got on my face. I bartered with God. I struck every deal, Jeff, I could think of. I promised everything I owned, and I would have come and gotten your stuff if I thought it would have affected him. I begged, I said, God, please, God, give it to me. I even took him and I laid him on my chest, and I said, God, please, give it to me. Give this boy his life. Took him to the hospital. I was sitting there one day, and I just needed a break, so I just stepped out into the hall, and I looked up, and Talon Barnett and my dad were walking down the hall. We were down in Atlanta. He came from Ackworth. And he walked up to me, and all he said, Brother Justin, he walked up to me and he said, your boy's going to be okay. Your boy is going to be okay. He reached out, shook my hand, turned around, got in the car, and came back. That's it. That's it. He didn't say goodbye, praying for you. He just got in the car and left. I had gotten along with God. I said, God, I'm through bartering with you. I don't know what I've got to give you, but whatever it is, you can have it. You can have it all. Touch my boy, please. Please touch my boy. And I thought, I doubt if he's heard a thing. And my dad came down 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. So I'm walking. Well, that was a long walk. I watched him walk down that hall. And all he said when he walked up to me was, your boy's going to be okay. I found out later, Talton told me, My dad called him and he said, Tyler, I want you to come over here. And I want you to pray for my grandson. And he said, now I want you to understand this. I'm going in my study to pray. God's going to touch my grandson, or I'm going to die right here in this study. I'm not coming out. I won't come out. Stay as long as you want to, but I'm not coming out until I have assurance from God. I don't know if you knew my dad or not, but he would have died right there in that room. He absolutely would have died right there. When he got his answer, that's when they came to the hospital. Sometime during the night, well, the next morning, doctors came in. They said, we don't know what happened. Sometime during the night, his body started producing those red blood cells. He's going to be just fine. I looked at him and I thought, God, thank you. The freedom that you find in just stepping in. I bartered. I struck a deal anywhere I could. But when I finally said, as much or as little as I am, it is yours. I had a whole lot of ambitions. I had a whole lot of things I wanted to do. But he touched my boy. And you look at him now, you invite him over, you know he can eat. Boys are strong as an ox. Did God do that because I prayed? I don't know. Do it because my dad prayed? Probably. But I know this. The freedom, that unbelievable freedom that just swept over me after, Theon, after all the bartering, after all the negotiating, after all the begging, I thought if I pray really loud, maybe he'll do it. After all that, when I said, God, here's what I said. Whether you touch my boy or not, I'm yours. Whether you touch him or not, I'm yours. I trust you. I trust you. It was as though this incredible weight went. And I realized for the first time in my life, I had stopped playing games with God and my walk with Him. Well, Randy, you're right. I ain't getting anywhere. Second Corinthians, he talks about this uncompromised preaching when he says, let me read it to you. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. And basically what he is talking about is that he was disappointed that Titus wasn't there when he said he would be there. And he could have easily stopped. He said, no, I'm going to wait a little while. And he didn't come. He said, I'm going to preach. I'll be back later. How easy it is for us to blame our indifference and our failure to serve on other people. Well, I would have done it, but, you know, look at them. And all that stuff. He said, I'll go to Macedonia and I'll be back. And you thought Arnold Schwarzenegger said that first. An unashamed witness. Listen, with all praying, Colossians 4:3, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the ministry. It's an unashamed witness. He says over in Revelation 4, and after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I'll show you these things which must be hereafter. It's where we have an unhindered departure when the Lord blows has the trumpet blown, and we leave this stinking place. All these opportunities. Push the door open. And we say, do you have enough desire to walk with God to step over the threshold? Don't come down here and promise God a bunch of stuff because you're not going to do it. And that's just going to make you feel guiltier. Don't do it. Don't come down here and strike a deal. And don't come down here and say, Lord, if I've sinned, I'm going to bet on this side over here, you probably have. Strike a deal with God. Just come down here and say, here I am. Here I am. If that door is opening for me now, if that door is going to open to me this week, I am going to, with God's help, I'm going to step in. Don't plan what you're going to do. Don't plan how you're going to handle it. Because let me go ahead and put your mind at ease. Yes, there are adversaries on the other side. Because what you're going to find out is not everybody is going to be excited that you decide to serve God. Your friends won't care. All your problems won't be over if you write a bad check on Friday. It's still bouncing on Monday. You being saved won't have a thing in the world to do with it. Don't come to God for personal gain. God, I just want to, if you'll do this, I'll barter. God, if you'll do this, I'll serve you. God, if you'll answer this, I'll witness for you. Have you ever noticed things we promise God are the things we ought to be doing anyway? God, if you'll do this, I'll read my Bible more. I'm going to read 25 chapters in that. Man, you're not reading one. Don't promise God something you can't. He's not going to be moved by your promise. What moves him is a broken and a contrite heart. Do you care? I don't know if you do or not. This week, you got some godly men be coming in here, and they're going to push this door open. God, please help us. One of the dearest friends I have on earth is going to be pushing it open tonight. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? Nobody's looking. Everybody, please don't go out yet. We're almost through. Let me ask you this. Is anybody to say, preacher, when you said that open door stuff, I know what you're talking about. I have lived on the threshold of really, really serving. I want to serve him, really. Sometimes you ride down the road and you think, man, I'd like to do something for God. You hear somebody doing something, you think, well, that'd be so cool if I could get involved in that. I'm excited about the possibility, just not much interested in the process. I live on the doorstep of eternity. I live on the doorstep of doing something that matters for God. When I see him, I really do need to hear him say, well done. He's earned it. He deserves it, for heaven's sakes. Is there anybody here? Nobody's looking. Nobody's going to come to you. Nobody's going to embarrass you. Is anybody here to lift your hand and say, preacher, buddy, I know what it is to live on a threshold. I want you to pray for me. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. No tricks, no gimmicks. I'm not going to trick you into anything. I live on a threshold. I know God's opened a door for me. You might say, I stood there so long, I feel like that door closed. It can. Anybody else quickly? Does anybody say, preacher, I don't know what you're talking about, because I haven't ever given my life, I haven't put my faith in him. I'll go to church and be a good dad, good mom, good student, good child, whatever. But the truth is, I've never put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I live right on this, and like you stood in front of Buckingham Palace, so close, and I had no access. Because I'm a part of the family. Anybody say, pray for me. Don't come to me. Don't embarrass me. I just need the Lord. I don't want to live like this. And I certainly don't want to die like this. Anybody real quick? Thank you. Father, I gave you my best today, Lord. I did my best. Whatever it is or whatever it isn't, it was an offering to you. For no one but you. Because you're worthy and because I said I would. Help us now, Father, to be obedient. As doors open this week of service, not just necessarily for salvation, it might be for doing something that helps the church to grow, teaching a class, visiting, whatever that it might be. No matter what their leadership roles might be in this church, maybe they'd say, God, if you open a door for me, I want to have the boldness and the obedience and faith to step in it. In Jesus' strong name, we pray. Amen. While we stand together, we'll sing a verse of a song, if you would. Just obey the Holy Spirit. No tricks, no gimmicks. Don't come make a bunch of promises. Just come say, hey, if there's a door, Lord, I'm coming. I'll step. I'm not afraid to step. So